We live to love you. We live to know you. We live to bless you. Because you're just so much. You're too much. And so there is service is not enough. It is to give you what you really desire. To know you. And to become like you. And we declare that in our lives, Lord, we will do our best to cause the desire of your soul concerning us and all that you have given us to be manifest so that you will be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, we come to pray this afternoon as we go into your word. Lord, we thank you because we come under covering of our fathers. And Lord, I come to ask you for fresh mercy. I recognize my limitations and my infirmities, and I know this is the word you have put in my heart and in my mouth. So, Father, I need your help. Anoint my heart. Anoint my lips so that as I speak this afternoon, I will speak as an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me, Lord, with power, with clarity, with simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And let it do, Lord, in all of our hearts, including my own, an eternal work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds inspired and fired up by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions, Lord, further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Father, under the covering of our fathers, Lord, let power be released so that it will back the words wherever it goes throughout the earth. Lord, breaking yokes, causing blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears to be unstopped, giving us strength in our feet and our ankle bones to be doers of all the things that we learn, not being hearers only, so our lives will be well pleasing before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as your word goes forth, Lord, I come to pray and ask for mercy. Help me. Let the same anointing be upon the hearts and upon the ears of my brethren, so they will hear these words with the same anointing, the same clarity and specificity, so that they will arise and take their place in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord, that indeed you help me to be concise and to precise, not to say unnecessary things, but to redeem the time. Let, Lord, your word come out so that like a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth things old and things new. Let this word be a blessing to my fathers and a blessing to my beloved brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We hallow the presence of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. This morning, the Holy Spirit has already gone ahead. As you can see in the worship, God is calling us up to a deeper relationship with Him. And I have a word this afternoon entitled, Hearing Instruction. Hearing Instruction. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 to 34. Please give that to me quickly. Right. Says, let's read it together. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Next verse. Let's read it together. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Give this verse to me in the Amplified, please. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. God is speaking here about somebody who is attending to God. He's giving God full attention. Before the door is open, he's watching at the gate. He's waiting at the post of the door. Peradventure, there will be a message that God has to say to me. He's talking about a relationship. There are two responses you can have to instruction. To accept and obey, or to reject and disobey. But the Bible tells us in verse 34 that being blessed is the result of accepting, practicing or doing, and looking for instruction as a habit. The first thing is to practice it, is to accept it, then is to do it, then is to look for it as a habit. Therefore, from this scripture, it is clear that God doesn't determine who is blessed. We determine whether we are blessed. So I declare today you are blessed. I say you are happy, you are fortunate, you are going to be envied in Jesus' name. Because you will fulfill the condition. You listen for God. You watch daily at the gates. You wait at the post of the doors. If you do that, the Bible says that you are blessed. So God doesn't determine who is blessed. It is us that determine who is blessed. So God's not a respecter of persons. Like Pastor Dude was saying powerfully this morning. He's not a respecter of persons. We choose what we get. And the blessing he's talking about here is not simply material and financial blessing. He's talking about the blessing of your inheritance. The blessing of what God created you for. The blessing of your destiny. Because without your inheritance, you certainly cannot fulfill your destiny. It's an equipping to fulfill your destiny. It was what Jacob had when he had swindled his brother and he went to Laban's house. But because that inheritance is a holy inheritance, it cannot work when you are a swindler. So he was carrying it, but it was not working for him. Your inheritance will work for you in Jesus' name. Yes, so it will work for you. You know what I mean by that is that he had it, but it wasn't functional. He wasn't functional. It was dormant. And so he was being oppressed for 20 years. Until Jacob woke up and said, "What is going on? Lord, I depart from these ways. This mago, corner, cutting corners, lowering the standard. I'm not doing that again." That's all he said in his heart. He just decided, "Look, I'm not doing all this nonsense again. I have met somebody who is 10 times better than I am. I met someone who is better than me at this. So I cannot win by doing it his own way." If you fight the devil's way, he'll beat you black and blue. If you're dishonest, if you lie, you are proud, you know, you do what you like, nobody can talk to you. Well, you will have it, but it will be dormant. And you are playing the devil's game. So he will beat you at his game. But the day you wake up like Jacob, that I cannot do it this way. Let me change. He hadn't even done much. He hadn't met the angel on the way. He hadn't wrestled. They haven't changed his name. He started working. Immediately he started working. God gave him wisdom. Get poplar rods. Tell him you don't want money. He said, Laban said, "Appoint your wages. I'll fix it." I said, "I don't want money." It's wisdom. Give me, this is what you should give me. Give me all this speckled and ring straight. You know the story. All right? So he gave it to him. And with that, God transferred all of Laban's wealth back to Jacob. That's the blessing. Any situation you are, it will speak for you. If you need light, it will give you light. If you need love, it will give you love. If you need power, it will give you power. It can manifest as anything you need. It is the inheritance. That's the blessing he's talking about here. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. Mommy, share the scripture with us. You need to be quick. 30, 19 to 20. Let's read together. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you what? And blessing and cursing. Therefore choose that thou and thy seed," no, your seed is anywhere you are going, your seed are with you, "thy seed may live," next verse, "that thou mayest" what? "Love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave to him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land." The blessing will put you in a land and experience day after day. Each day is a new day. You know, I know in the land which the Lord swore to thy fathers, to Abraham and Jacob, to give them. You know, the Bible describes that land because it's a physical land, you know, in a sense, you know, for Israel it was a physical land. A land that brings forth fruit of itself. It describes it in the book of Deuteronomy. A land where out of the hills you would dig iron. A land that is fruitful on its own.
That's like having, basically having a Midas touch. Everything you touch is fruitful. It's the blessing. So it's not just you do this, you get the visa. That's, you know, it's not just material things. It's everything in the physical realm, in the soulish realm, in the spiritual realm. Every realm, you're a winner. That's the blessing. So you need to understand. But look at what he's saying here. He's saying that you need to choose life. It's a choice. So life is a choice. Obedience to instruction is a choice. And instruction gives us access to eternal life. I won't turn there, but Proverbs 4:13, put it up. It says, take fast hold of instruction, for she is thy life. No, so in a sense, it means that instruction will, if you follow instruction, it will show you the path of life or the path of escape or the path of good. Do you understand? But at the same time, instruction carries inside, inherent in it, life. If your Bible says that in the way of righteousness is life, in the pathway thereof there is no death. One of the proverbs, you know, in the way of righteousness or instruction, there is life. You cannot obey instruction and meet death there. It's not possible. They don't go together. Instruction and life, they've cleaved one to the other. So you can't have one without the other. You have instruction, you have life. That's what God is talking about. Okay? And the Bible says that reproof of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 6:23. We're not turning there. But I just want to show you that this life is key. It's that life that enables us to obey God, which is said in verse 20. Give that back. Thank you. In the way of righteousness is life. In the Bible, you can see that you cannot be in the way of instruction and meet death there. They are on two different roads. All right. Give back. Give us Deuteronomy 30:20. So the key here is God wants you to obey. Let's say love, obey, cleave. Let's say it again. Love, obey, cleave. That's the essence. Because when you cleave, that's what God, this whole service is all about. God is talking about, look, I want you closer. I want you to cleave to me. I want you to be closer to me. I want to draw you closer to myself. And it's by loving Him, by obeying Him. So if you're not obeying instruction, you're not loving the Lord. That I know you have feelings for Him, and when you worship God you cry and you have a feeling, remove all that. His own definition of love is obedience. Look at John chapter 14 verse 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Loving God requires us to have, to keep, and to do instruction. Have, keep, and do. You cannot do what you don't keep. Pastor was talking this morning about keeping. We'll see where we keep it. But you must keep it and to do it. Look at John 14, verse 20. Right, give me verse 21. Let's read together. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Manifest. A manifestation of his presence is the result of loving God. There is life. Bible says if you say on Wednesday, if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life. You get life on the outside. It will manifest. That life on the outside is mercy. It will enable you to also gravitate towards life on the inside, which is grace. So they work together. Anytime you trust God, anytime you obey God, God responds. It's not just doing the right thing, Shah. There is a response. You must understand, there's an immediate response. If you disobey, you don't get that response. But if you obey, there's an immediate spiritual response. Life. On the outside. And on this, it makes it easier for you. He responds. That's what he said. I will manifest. Next verse. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? How can you do that? How can you manifest yourself and yet be remain private? Isn't it when you manifest, wouldn't everybody see it? That's what he's talking about. Next verse. Jesus answered and said, this is Jesus, the pattern son. So you can take this to the bank. If a man, we saw before that love is keeping his commandments, isn't it? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we how many? Three. We will what? Come to him and make our abode. That's why there's a manifestation. God just came on the scene. A greater measure of God in life, a greater measure of God in power, a greater measure of God in peace, a greater measure of God in joy, a greater measure of God. And sometimes you may not, many times you won't feel anything, but you will see the effects. The effect is there. The effect is there. And you can see it. So really, and you know, if you want to know the person God has chosen or the person God approves, just look for that presence. Look for that glory. Look for that manifestation. That is the person God has designed on. God, you know, God doesn't do the way we do. He doesn't take the person who is strongest. He doesn't take the most charismatic. He doesn't take the most visible. God doesn't choose the most experienced. I don't know, I don't mean God does away with those things. But that's not the primary criterion God is looking for. It is the most obedient that God is looking at. Are you listening to me, brethren? I'm encouraging you as I'm encouraging myself. This stuff is available. And when something is available, the next thing you want to know is that, you know, if you go into a shop and you see something is available, I like this. I went to with mommy to one shop like that in Japan. Went to one, they showed us one keyboard like this. Jesus. Ha! The thing that keyboard, mommy said, Kuni, what did that? Ha! Mommy, this is the day that the Lord has made. We looked and next thing was, what's the price? And that's the price now. Because I'm talking about the keyboard and say what you can do. You can do this, you can do that, you can do that. You can do that. Okay, stop. To be able to take this keyboard away, we have to pay the price. That's what we're preaching now. Get the price. So don't be discouraged. Just make sure you get the price and then take it home. It's yours for the taking. Just pay the price. Is all subsidized by the grace of God. It's subsidized. Why are you looking so? It's subsidized. You can take it. It's not for free, but you not pay the exact price. Because Jesus has paid, then your fathers have also paid. So the little one that is on top, that one you just pay. Hallelujah. It's easy. Yeah. So really, brethren, the habits we cultivate at the heart level, that's what is important here. If you look at David, if you look at 1 Samuel 16, just give me verse 1 quickly. I just want to hit it running. We know the story, how they anointed David, how they put all the brothers in the house. But I want to read to you 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 to show you a very important point. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, you're with me in Jesus' name. I'm praying for them. Yes! And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have what? Why did God reject him? Saul rejected instruction. So if you reject instruction, you are rejected. You will not reject in Jesus' name. But that's why he was rejected. See him from reign over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and look for a replacement. But look for it. He says, I will send you to the house of Jehovah. I have what? Provided me what? A king among his sons. The boy was already chosen. It wasn't someone going to choose. God had already chosen him. Someone was just going to ratify what God had chosen. Very important points. That's why true godly oversight, they can't lay hands on any man suddenly. Because they have to, they're now doing their own will. God said, don't touch him. And now go and touch him and anoint him. God said, don't touch him. He said, do you have anybody here amongst all these ones? So man, go and call him. Said it was ruddy, it was fine, it was beautiful to look upon. That's not why they chose him. They chose him because he was obedient to instruction. And you can see the presence. Because before anybody knew anything, he killed the lion. He killed the bear. You go to the zoo. Eh? And when they are eating lion, just them to open the gate. I want to. You have power. Don't do that. Very silly. The guy that did that the other day, they took his carcass away. True, it's not God. God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Sometimes we try and do things, we don't have the presence. To kill lion has one witness. To kill the bear, that's two witnesses. Chosen, right there. So when the prophet comes, he has no choice. But the Bible says he arose and anointed him in the presence of his brethren. He was chosen in secret, but anointed publicly. So really, it was an outward ratification, because anything on earth has to be done by man. So God and David already had a relationship. So work on your relationship with God. Amen. Work on your relationship with God and improve it and improve it, and let the anointing be increasing, so that one day they just lay hands on you. It can be in private, it can be two people. It doesn't matter. The important thing is to get what God wants for you. It's not how many people know about it. Hello. Right. Also see Daniel. Daniel, this presence was also intangible oppression, because it made a distinction for them. Daniel did what? In verse 8, Daniel 1 verse 8, we won't turn there because we know the story. He purposed in his heart, I will not defile himself with the king's meat. It was Daniel that took the initiative. The initiative is always ours, brethren. It's not God's though. I mean, God has mercy and grace for everybody. But then what you do with the mercy and grace is key. You now took the mercy and grace and said, and prayed. I said, God, I believe you. I'm going to stay with the standard. What Pastor Dave was saying today, don't lower the standard. If we're in Israel, we won't be eating this food. Nobody was. I mean, other people were there, other people were eating it. But he said, I cannot do this. And as soon as he did that, because that was not the first time, but that was a habit, you can see the presence was there. Immediate, I will manifest myself to him. We will manifest ourselves to him. Okay, and so we now went to the man. He's a slave boy. The least they can do is to slap his face. That's the least they can do. For us, it's a very impertinent question. I don't want to eat this stuff. What do you mean you don't want to eat? They gave me instruction. What are you talking about? Eat the food. I know what I tell my children when they say they don't want to eat. Don't take kindly to all that nonsense. Some people don't have food to eat. Yeah, be serious. I mean, what are you talking about? So, I mean, eat the food. For him to even say that it's favor right there. For him to say, Daniel was the one dictating. I wonder who was the slave, who was the one in control. Who was your guy who was slave? Because your guy's supposed to be telling instruction, isn't he? But Daniel was not telling him, prove me. Give me 10 days. Now, brethren, I mean, I'm sure you know, if you eat vegetable and water after 10 days, your cheekbones will show a bit. You know that in the natural, isn't it? So there was a presence. There had to be. That's the only way you can eat. Is breaking a physical law. You are taking only vitamins, minerals, and water, and you are getting the effect of carbohydrates, protein, and fat. Come on, guys. I know you are not a doctor, but come on. I mean, that's just normal. Come on, you can understand. I mean, you have to eat a balanced diet. For 10 days, it will show. Even if you fast for 3 days, but don't even fast for 3 days. Don't you see the effect? For 10 days, that's 3 times 3 plus 1. I'm just trying to show you that it was enough to show. It didn't show. Instead, it was fairer and fatter. That's the presence. That's what we're talking about. Now, why is it important? Is this important? Because that's what God wants to do. Now, why? It's important because, you know, God's nature is in our spirits. But the satanic nature is in our wills, in our minds, and in our bodies. That nature hates instruction. It naturally, number two, automatically rejects instruction. It's a default setting. Well, no, default means that it's already set like that. If you touch it, that's how it's going to react. So that's how it is. Remember Romans chapter 8 verse 3 to 4. Quickly. Thank you. For what the law, let's read together. For what the law could not do, in that it was what? Weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for is a substance. That's the reason why it naturally opposes instruction. It is the devil's nature. So, and devil hates instruction. And anybody, will, I mean, in our souls, and because of the fall of Adam, the devil automatically controls in that way. Therefore, when you talk about nature, you talk about nature, even when you talk about the force of nature, even lawyers, when they draw up contract, they talk about force majeure. Isn't it? That is when an event happens, you are not liable. That because there is a force. So when you talk about nature, it implies a force behind nature. There is a force behind nature. There is a force in the air. Do you understand? There is a force that controls the mountains, controls the volcanoes. It's called the power of iniquity. It exists. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's there. Right there, that force. So really, when it talks about the fact that there's a nature, it means that for you to obey, you must put into operation a greater force through another nature. To be able to overcome the nature of the devil, you must put in a different nature, one, then the force of godliness behind that nature, or the force of love, and then you will obey. Is a force thing, just like aeroplane, you know, law of gravity, law of lift. All right, so that's the first reason. And you can see here, look at Matthew 21 verse 28. You can see in this story, you can see the two forces. But what think ye? Let's read again. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Next verse. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. Next verse. And he came to the second and said, likewise. Did he tell them something different? No. What did he tell them? The same thing. Right. Okay. What was an instruction? And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. There is an enemy here. The first, they announced, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said, verily I said that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. They will not go before you in Jesus' name. Amen. But the point here is that there were two sons with two forces. The first force, the boy said, I will not go. But he went. That was the force of godliness. That was the force of obedience right there. He didn't. The first thing in his mind, he said, he's saying that both of them had problems. Both of them had problems. Because his first response, you would have said, oh, he was a good boy. He said he would go. His first response was, I'm not going. That's the nature right there. He had to do something to overcome the nature. That's how come he went. And the second one said, I will go. And he said, I will go. And he didn't go. Remember Peter? I will follow you to the end. Did he follow him? Did he deny him? How many times? Just to show you that it's clear, perfect witness. One, two, three. Nature. Force. It's not good intention. It's not a feeling. You know, when someone says, I love you. The person doesn't know what they're talking about. Real love. It's not mess me. I'm not going on a rabbit trail. All right. But you know what I mean. You need to examine everything in the light of this. You will save yourself heartache. You will save yourself pain. Don't give people what they cannot handle by reason of their spiritual growth. They will disappoint you. Not because they want to disappoint you personally, but because you did not discern their level. You need to discern. Enough said. Number two, we live in a time of abounding iniquity. Matthew 24, 12. We're not turning there. And there's an increase in the force behind the sin nature. It's called iniquity, that force. And that force is the one feeding natural elements. Tidal waves, monsoon, climatic thing, floods, rain. You can see, just turn on the news and tell you that it's coming in from the Pacific. You know, there is this other, they have different names for them. All right, hurricane, typhoon, this one, all that. It's graduated into a hurricane. It's like, Tori Olam. Thank God for mercy. Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. We will not see like that in Jesus' name. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make there is that there is a force, there is an abounding iniquity. Iniquity is the force behind the sin nature. It's also the force that is controlling the elements, except a man intervenes. Do you understand? So now it is God's will to save us by the anointing or the presence or the glory of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That glory will tell you, don't book your flight for that day. It will talk to you. It will direct you. You will just go after the thing happened. You will go before. They will never meet you there. Not because you are born again. It's because you carry something. You carry the presence. It's very, very important. And you are led by the Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Look at Jeremiah 30. It's very important to see that. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 to 9. 7 to 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Alas! For the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. We give example of Jacob. Alright? They're using Jacob as a type here now. Not of Jacob's trouble. Talking about the time we're living in. But he shall be saved out of it. That's the good part. You are going to be saved out of it. But there is trouble in the air. You need to be aware. Next verse. For it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will break his what? Yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Next verse, so you can understand it. But they shall serve who? The Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Notice that you will serve somebody. You have to serve somebody. Because if you don't serve somebody, then you are not, let me put it this way. You have the form of man. The form of man is the form of a servant. Didn't the Bible say about Jesus? The Bible says he took the form of a servant. So the form of man is a subservient form. It's a lower form. It's a form that serves. The form of God is a form that dominates, or a form that is served. Am I making sense? There is a form that is served. There is a form that serves. What Jesus came is to take away the form that serves and give you the form that dominates or that is served. And now, and he took his own form that dominates. He gave that up and took our own form that serves and bore the price of all the things that we should have paid for. That's what we're talking. That's what Jesus did. So he exchanged forms. All right, so you must understand it in that sense. So what he's talking about here, he's saying that because of the iniquity in the air, Jacob is in trouble. Jacob is in trouble. He will not be able to serve the Lord his God and the king whom God has asked him to serve. So, but what he's saying is saying that God saying that I will break that yoke from off his neck. The question is, what is on your neck? Is it God's yoke? Or is it devil? Is it the yoke? You see, the thing is this: if you don't deliberately put on God's yoke, you will by force carry the devil's yoke. That's why you really don't have any choice. Nobody can tell me what to do. I don't care. I won't do. They already yoked you, man. You are yoked. Nobody can tell. I'm not going to do it. And because nobody can talk to me, they already just put it. You didn't even feel it. They just put it on you. Everything you are saying, they programmed it and told you to say it. You thought you are the one saying it. You are not saying it. They are making you say what you are saying. Why? You are a man. You are but a man. Even God told Satan, you are a man. You are created. What are you talking about? So you know, the earlier you understand that this is my form and you know what you need to do to put yourself in a place where you dominate, the better for you. Right, I'm doing as if you are independent. You're not independent. You're supposed to be serving the Lord your God and David your king, whom he has raised up unto you. But when you do that, then you will break that yoke from off his neck. And strangers will not serve. Notice that they are plural. Plural. There are plural strangers that are making you serve. Your carnal mind is making you serve. Your flesh is making you serve. Your mind will tell you, hey, see this video. And then you will see that video. Like David saw a video of a woman watching. He didn't see the video. It was like, it was real life video. It was interactive video. It's a video that you can interact in. So I was watching. Oh, then, oh, Lord. And he didn't. Why? Because he wasn't serving the Lord at that time. At that time, even the king has to be serving the Lord. Eh? Even we are serving the king, but the king himself has to be serving the Lord. Otherwise, he will misbehave big time. And that's what David did. And so you have the carnal mind will tell you what to do. The flesh will tell you what to do. Satan will pull the strings. Will tell you what to do. Human enemies will tell you what to do. The Bible says that if a branch that does not bring forth fruit, no, is cast into the fire. And it says men will cast them into the fire. Men. So men will deal with men. Why? It's because. They're not serving God, so God can't intervene. It's not God that, it's just the way it is. You must understand. And then, of course, death. That's the last stranger. But we're going to overcome them. I'm going to remove their yoke from off our neck. And the last one is death. So we can remove the yoke off your neck. That's the good news. Amen. This is why, you know, the Bible says that it's a great and a terrible day. It's a terrible day because if you don't do what you need to do, it's a terrible thing. They'll be serving and pushing you all around. But it's a great day because if you do what you're supposed to do, you will be pushing them around. That's why it's the great and the terrible day. Joel 2:31. But we're not turning there. This is why a spiritual education is vital. It's absolutely vital. Because when you come to the crunch, it's not your intelligence that will save you. It's not your parents' connections that will save you. It's not the money you have in your bank account that will save you. Some things come against you. Only the God that you serve can save you. And the men he has put in authority over you. That's all there is. So you must not wait for that day to come. You must understand what is available and operate it to your advantage. So that you can get... So that by that thing that time comes, you're already ready. You can't be learning to fight in a war. You have to learn to fight before the war. Put on your armor before the war. That's how it is. Amen. God's going to help us in Jesus' name. Now, this does not mean God is suspending natural laws and natural processes. God is still behind good time management. God is still behind integrity of heart. God is still behind working hard. God is still behind being respectful. But we're just saying that that's not enough. The intellectual is there, the physical is there, the social is there, the material and financial are there, and they have their place. But you must put godly attitudes and godly character on top. Like Daniel 5:12. Say this man, it's not Daniel that said it of himself, it's what they said of him. Say this man has an excellent spirit. That's number one. Character. That's number one thing he said about him. Oh, then he has knowledge. He has understanding. And he has... Why? Because they've seen the man. They've seen the man. So it wasn't they were reading him like a book. And telling the king, this man, if anybody can solve this problem, it's this man. Alright. Now, so the key here is our lives must be attractive to God. Look at Isaiah 66:1-2. Isaiah 66:1-2. Thank you. The idea, this godly attitude, as you obey instruction, you sow a thought, you reap an act. You remember that thing. You know, your thoughts become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your character. And your character determines your destiny. A thought cannot determine your destiny. It's what you do on a regular basis God's going to determine your destiny. So, a thought determines your act. The act determines your habit. Your habit determines your character. And then your destiny comes from there. So nothing is ever written down. I call any, forget that. It doesn't work. I call any, no. Nobody was written. You write it yourself. Nobody wrote anything for you. You had a clean slate and you wrote everything there by default. If you don't write the right thing, you already wrote the wrong thing. There is no gap. But don't blame God. The only thing I can now say is that, yes, somebody in authority can now step in and say, I raise what he has written. That one is there. Covering. And that's why we must bless God for the fathers that we have. They have erased for all of us. Give God a super clap. They've erased. And erased things that we've done in our foolishness. And with prayer, because some things cannot be erased. Do you know that? That's why people need to listen to instruction. Because some things, then by the time you do them, there are already consequences. So you have to let the consequences don't fulfill their time limit. Then you now erase, go take your step backward. There's no erasing. You take steps backward and start again. That's why it is better to be careful. I can understand that clearly. Some things take caution and to be careful. Am I sure? My mommy said, my daddy said, better be careful. What an adult can see sitting down, you will stand on ladder, you will not see it. It's better to err on that side and say, I obey them, Lord, see where I am. Yeah, wait for that day. Wait for that day where you can say, look, I obeyed them. I did everything they said. See where I am. See where I am. That day will never come. It will never come. God, He's the Father. You will arise. Whatever He has to do, you will do. To make sure that you cannot say that. All right, good. Now, so Isaiah 66, 1 to 2. Yes. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you build unto me? He's asking us. Where is the house that you are building? It's not this church. Where is the house? You. Me. Your soul. Your body. Heaven is my throne. I have a place where I'm living already. But you tell me you are building me a house. That's what David said. Say, I will build you a house. Is that not what David said? But God was not doing a house made with human hands. Paul brought that out in Acts. So we know. He's talking about living in us. So where is the place of my rest? Your heart, your soul, your body, mine, all of us together, corporate and individual. Next verse. For all those things has my hands made, and all those things, the physical ones, have been. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and what? Trembled at my word. That's the key. You don't throw God's words away or the words of the authority without checking it clearly and be sure and sure and double sure before you throw it away. All right. How do we get to do this? Number one, of course, we must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That presupposes it. Bible says, John 3:16. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. It's not living forever. That one, everybody is going to live forever. Do you understand? Everybody's going to live forever. We're all going to live forever. Because we're spirits. So spirits live eternally. To that degree that they made in the image of. So they exist forever. You understand? But the key here is everlasting life is a substance. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you are measuring it, it's not time. It's not time. It's a substance. It's a golden liquid inside God that makes God God. And He shared it with us when the day we got born again in our spirits. Amen? And we're supposed now to use that life to replace the satanic nature here with the same life and replace it in our bodies. That's the whole life. So the first thing is that the nature must change. We said about nature and force. The two. So the nature must change. That's number one. Number two, we must learn to submit to authority, both natural authority and spiritual authority. Look at Ephesians 6, 2-3. It's very important to just we say these things, but I'm trusting God to speak to us. Let's read together. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the what? With what? Promise. It has a promise attached to it. What's the promise? Next verse. That it be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So it has Just that when he says being well with you, he's talking about being blessed. The way Jacob was blessed with the inheritance. That way, that's what he's talking about. That's the blessing he's really talking about. Okay? So he's talking about, you know, being, if you know, honoring your father and your mother, being the starting point. That attitude of submission is the starting point to take you all the way into your destiny. This being well with you is at the end of the ladder. You know, if you have a swimming pool, you have a shallow end and you have a deep end. You know, the deep end is for people that can swim. Not people that you throw them water, God have mercy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is the deep end. It's not just carrying one blessing and be well with you so you survive. There's survival, there is well with you. That you say, it is well with me. It'll be well with us in Jesus' name. All right, but he's talking about honoring father and mother being the beginning of that. And he's talking about a submissive attitude. It's both natural authority and spiritual authority. Remember, I know our parents have infirmities. They're not perfect. Not yet. Do you understand? So, but there's a way. Like Pastor Dave was saying this morning, when Moses married the Egyptian woman, God didn't even talk about it. Moses said in his own mouth that he was against the law. And then Moses now married the Egyptian woman. And Joshua said, that's none of my business. And prayed for the man and just went. And some of the other people took it upon themselves. Well, yes, we need to mark this. This is, yes. And then the way he talks to us, that's another area. That's another area. Yes, and then the way he just does. No, it's impunity and exclusivity. Let's mark it. So you're keeping your own silly record of the do's and don'ts and the things that are not supposed to be there, you know. And God is looking at you, what are you doing? You remember that day, the Bible says that he told them, go and wait for me in the tabernacle. Before they got there, the presence of God came down. The thing was, God was so angry. He could hardly wait for them to get there. How dare you? Same thing I'm telling you. How dare you count your parents' infirmities? Count their sin. I'm not saying they don't have sin. It's none of your business. If you cannot pray and show mercy and use it to, the Bible says, if a person sees his brother sin, sin unto death, he should ask life for him. If you cannot forgive, ask life and pray, just turn the other way and ask God for mercy. None of your business. It will be well with you. It's very important. And that is what God is looking at. Particularly when you are treated unfairly. You can't overcome pride with pride. Some of our parents are proud. Wrong weapon. You are doing what Jacob did. He was there for 20 years. But I learned from his mistake. So you will not be there for a long time. Sometimes they are unfair. Injustice. You don't respond to injustice with rebellion. They prefer this person to me. Wrong response. It's the wrong response. You should submit. Submit because God is behind them. You're not submitting because of a man. If he's a man, you can stand up and say what you want. But it's God behind the man that you're afraid of. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's just weird that you know, sometimes, you know, you see, I don't know, when we were in secondary school, if we had school fathers, and your school father, anywhere you go, you carry his identity. I don't know how to explain it. You just have to understand. You carry his identity. You know, so if you see somebody and he's in GS1, but his brother is very big in upper six, you leave him alone. No? When you say, "Omo come," and he does not come, you won't go and meet him and say, "Why did you come?" You are not being wise. We are asking for trouble. And he will come and wake you up in the night. 2 a.m. Get up! I hear you are sending my brother on errand. You too now. Go to the school store.
Luru.
Ah, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Oh, then give me the key to your locker. Ah, I'm Oye. You be begging them, sir. Hey, Josa. We're not going on rabbit trail. All right. But the point is this, that you have to see behind them. It's a big God. It's a very big God. Their God is big. It's bigger than you think. So just fear him. Otherwise, he will show you how big he is. And Jacob thought he had gotten away with that thing when he did it, that Esau would just forget. He paid. He paid. He swindled him. He suffered. He walked until God, if not for what God did for him when he began to change a bit, he would have come back empty. Just to tell you that you never get away with anything. God, anything. He will wait for you. You know, you are still going to meet him in eternity. So even if he doesn't do it in his life, you know, he's hanging like a sword of Damocles. He will not hang in Jesus' name, because we will erase it. You understand? We will obey instructions and we will cry to God, and then our fathers will help us to erase it. But the point is that you must fear God and honor your parents. Because that now takes you to your spiritual relationships, which is actually far more important. Do you understand? Because that one is not far more important, because this one has to do with your physical well-being and to a degree your natural well-being, because you graduate from one to the other. When you are faithful in being submissive to spiritual natural authority, then spiritual authority will pick you up. And when you are faithful in spiritual authority, then God himself will now pick you up and talk to you face to face like Moses. God will talk to us face to face in Jesus' name. So you see, one leads to the other. So we should not despise it, you know. And so if you don't make this choice to submit, Satan will be able to deceive and dominate us easily. Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the first thing is to what? Submit ourselves to God. The next thing is to resist the devil. But if you are resisting the devil without submitting, it's not going to go away. And then the devil will look larger than life. He will look as if he's very strong. He's not very strong. You are the one that's not operating the thing properly. You need to submit. And you have submission in Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey and submit. You can obey without submitting. But the best is to submit and obey. That's what God is saying. Okay. Right. And I want to use this to contrast Ahithophel and Uriah. Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor. 16:23. Alright? We know the story. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's uncle. Pastor has preached this beautifully. I'm just repeating it. Okay? Ahithophel was Bathsheba's uncle. So when David did what he did to Bathsheba and Uriah, Ahithophel did not forgive him. Because he just felt, you have so many other wives. Which was right. You know, that's why sometimes we should not do these things, because the name of God is blasphemed. All right. But the point is that he took it personal. And so he clouded his judgment against David the king. David was wrong. But two wrongs don't make a right. Look at now. And the counsel of which he counseled in those days was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And Ahithophel just went over to Absalom's side against David. But in verse 15, in chapter 15, in verse 31, as soon as David heard that Ahithophel was there, David just prepared to say, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. But the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. This is why you must be afraid of God. God is the one that has the razor. He can erase, and you won't see mark of an eraser there. Ah, God. God didn't touch the gift. Because the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. That prayer technically could not be answered. But God looked for a way. How many people know that when God is for you, you can find a way? That's why if God be for us, who can stand against us? It's very important. So God said, no, well, that prayer, I understand what you mean. I'll do what I need to do. So God told David, send another friend, Hushai the Archite. Now, Hushai is Ahithophel's small boy. When Ahithophel is giving counsel as a counselor. Hushai should shut up. He should be listening and be learning from the fathers. Hushai and Ahithophel are not in the same league at all. But he sent us. So Absalom said, it was Ahithophel that told Absalom. He said, sleep with all your father's wives in public. See, if you are going to be rebellious, could be rebellious, let everybody know that you are rebellious. So when you are very rebellious, know the heart of the rebellious people, because the people with you are already rebellious people. So their hand will be strengthened. It was correct counsel. You're either black or white. Don't stay in the middle. When he did that, the heart of the men were very strong. Yeah, Ogami. Yeah, there's only one king here now. Yeah, we've dealt with that man's wives. Forgetting that it will affect the whole of Israel. But that the council was correct. I'm just giving an example of Ahithophel's council. You know the kind of person that we're dealing with. So when they now said, Ahithophel said, give me. It was personal. Ahithophel, we're not going to turn there for time. 2 Samuel 17, verse 20. He said, give me a band of men. I will follow after David. He's weak. He's tired. I will kill him. Only him I will kill. And I will come back. Some just told Absalom, ask Hushai. Ask Hushai the Archite. Hushai said, the counsel my Oga has given is not good at this time. We all know that is a man of war. If you go to him now he will be a bear, a wounded bear. A wounded bear is a dangerous bear. Let us give it time to give David some time. God. I know what God moved in Absalom's hand. Absalom said, this is your counsel you are giving. It's better. And you know what? As soon as Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not received, he went to his house and hanged himself. Can you imagine? Because his counsel was not received. What's the big thing about that? You gave advice and then they took someone else's advice over your own. So you now go and kill yourself. May that never happen to you in Jesus' name. That you'll be so proud. And stuck up. And this one is too much. But some of us, when they don't take your advice, you feel bad. You feel as if you've been slighted. They've been rude to you. They can take your advice and they can leave the advice. If it's God, it will work. If it's not God, it will not work. Doesn't matter what you want. You want to be the big man of the hour. That's the problem. No, you should let God's will be done. Let God be God. That's what I should have. He killed himself. But now see, that's Ahithophel on one hand. But look at 2 Samuel 11, verse 11. 2 Samuel 11, 11. We begin to round up now. Quickly. Now David, I'll just tell you the story because of time. David, when he knew that Bathsheba was pregnant, he sent for Uriah. You know the trick now. When Uriah comes, they'll go and sleep with your wife. So that they won't be able to time it. And JB was already at war. But unfortunately for him, Uriah was a man of integrity. They had a code that when we are at war, we are all at war. All for one, one for all. So really, when Uriah came, he spoke to him and said, "Yeah, go. Okay, well, just ask some questions. How is the war? Okay, go to your house and send a mess of meat, Onje, to show you when David himself resorted whole king to underhanded practices. But unfortunately for him, Uriah's heart was solid, straight, upright." So Uriah just said, yes, sir. And you can't argue with the king. He went, and as soon as he shut the door, he stood where the servants stay, in front of the door. He has his own house. He has his own wife. A very beautiful one at that. And I'm wondering why they didn't have children, but don't let's speculate. But, I mean, obviously she could have children. You understand what I mean? So maybe that a man just got married, and then he left his wife and went to war. Brethren, even Jesus' time, they told some people to come for a feast. They said, I have just married a wife. I'm contrasting, I'm joy and stone kind of heart that this guy had. You know, they said, Oga, come along. He didn't go. He slept in front of the place where the other people are sleeping. I called him again and said, I told you, you should go to your house. Look at this. I read it.
No. 11:11. Give me 11. I just want to bring out something there.
It's Uriah. Let's read together. And Uriah said unto David, the ark. Who is in the ark? God. God is in the ark. God and God. He said, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my Lord Joab. No, that's his own direct oga. My oga mi wa anita any king jail. And the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife as thou livest and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing.
Uprise. If he went, would they know? Some of us, when people don't know anything, we change. We change. Nobody will know. What people don't know will not cut them, will not hurt them. Brethren, this is integrity. It's integrity. Eh? He did not go. He told him not to do it. Sent him to his house, made him drunk with wine, even in a drunken state. Brethren, I ask myself, no, this man and Joseph, a woman comes and holds your clothes. But to give up. there's some people that are able to give up, you know,
because it's not normal. It's normal for you to chase a woman. When a woman chases you, all your defenses are upside down. Yes, because you're laughing. It's not normal.
That is the devil live and direct. So this man, they put even in a drunken state, he didn't sleep. His will was set. Even his subconscious was set. Alcohol could not change it. The king begging him could not change it. Food could not change it. And then he gave him letter and killed him. And he took the letter and no opened it. Oh, clap for Uriah.
May God give us the loyalty of Uriah. The obedience to instruction of Uriah. Unto death. Unto death. Unto death.
That's what God is looking for. I want to see what he will get in the resurrection.
Because if you look at this story, you will say, Kotalus.
The Bible says some will shine in the firmament like stars. He will be there. Everything was a test. Everything was a test. And he passed with flying colors and took his letter and died like a martyr. So an oga that killed him. All right, so we see that. So that's number two. So we're talking about submission, brethren. Submission to instruction of your oversight. Oga Joab Osimbe now. Submission to so even when the king told him, because sometimes people in authority can tell you to do something that's against the word of God. Don't argue. Don't do anything. Just don't do it. It's loyalty. All right. Next one. Like Daniel, determined to live by the word of God. It's very important. Contains instructions to enable us to fulfill our destiny in God. What I was talking about this morning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the details of how those things are done is a detailed set of instructions. But you obey it one by one. It's one by one. And anyone you don't obey, there will be a retest. That's the good part. So you can correct it and then obey. Amen. Right? But but you have to look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. I just want to bring up verse 15 because it's very important. 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Quick. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So you can see that, okay? So the faith is important. So the scriptures give you faith and wisdom and insight to know the way of your destiny. But it's instruction by instruction. God will not give you everything at once. It's step by step. Amen. Now, number four, we must now watch and pray. Watch and pray. And we know that Jude 20:21. But what I want to bring out there is that watching involves, you know, you confess instruction, you confess the word. The Bible says you hold the word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Give that to me. 2 Timothy 1:13. Yes. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Next verse.
that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in you. How do you keep the word? You keep it in your heart, Joshua 1:8. You keep it in your heart, in your mouth, which is confession, and in your heart, that thou mayest do it. So it is that keeping that enables you to do. So when we say, like for example, today we've done this, I choose to fear God. So I must say, that is an instruction. The fear of God is an instruction. So you make it a confession, right? And then you believe it as you are saying it, and then you speak it, and then you pray. And as you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are thinking. That's how you keep the word of God. You keep it in your mouth. You keep it in your heart. And then you pray by the Holy Spirit. No, but so when you keep it in your, you believe, you confess, you know, and all that. And then you are praying in the Spirit. You are releasing spiritual power. But the thinking part is very important, because you are now directing and channeling the spiritual power that's coming out. It's very important. Let's say it together. Confess. Believe. Meditate. Alright? Let's say confess. Believe. Meditate. That's how you do it. And now in the frequency. We've done it in church today, but we're supposed to do it once every 6 hours. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7. We're not going to turn there. I mean, with something we've heard before. We'll do it every opportunity. 1 Corinthians 14:18. And in every temptation. Matthew 26:41. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So when you put the word of God in your heart, and you know, in your mouth, and you put it in your heart, and you pray in the spirit, you strengthen the weakness of the flesh. So the flesh will do what the spirit said. That's how to obey. That's how to have it and keep it and do it. Amen. Of course, then do instruction, like we said, you know, like your example there, Bible says, we should not deceive ourselves. No, the keeping doesn't make you do automatically. You are in a better position to do. Amen. But you still have a choice. But it's easier to make than the one where automatically we have just done the wrong thing. So you still need to do the word of God. And always remember, if I do it, there is a manifest presence. If I do it, the glory is increasing. So it's from action to action. You have to keep doing it. Amen. Right. That's number five is doing. And number six, last one, is growing in diligence. Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. He rewards our diligent seeking with the presence of God. Amen. So as you grow in diligence, you start with this one. I've just told you now. You submit, you put the word of God in your heart, then you pray in the spirit, you know. But then as you grow in diligence, God begins to show you there is more. You pray with travail. I'm not talking about that at all here. That's seven pillars. It's not here at all. But start with this one. Because with God is immediate practice. That's the key. Immediate practice. And with immediate practice, then God begins to take you. Because, and you can see what he did with Jacob. You know, changed his name to Israel, made him a prince, you know, changed his name to Jeshurun. You know, the same Jacob now became a man who was working closely with God. And his seed and seeds it fulfilled the destiny that he had in store for them, at least in his lifetime. And that's our portion in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? We are saying, brethren, it is time to take fast hold of instruction. Don't let it go. The things God corrects you about, write them down. Look for a scripture. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mouth. Pray in the spirit. And you go from victory to victory to victory until you are blessed. And it manifests in the things that you do. Amen. Let's pray. Bow your head. This is what God is talking about. Cleave. Love. Obey. And cleave. Repent. All of us need to repent. Because there's room for improvement. Then begin to look at those areas. The areas where you've been falling short. I'm giving you examples today of Uriah. We're going to the same heaven. We're going to be judged at the same throne as Uriah. I don't want anything less than what he had. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to be loyal when no one is looking. To maintain the code of unity. All for one, all for all. Because if I eat, it may affect the battle, because we are one, we are connected. There's no secret sin. Repent. That's why the word of God came so hard this morning. God just speaking to us to straighten up. Straighten up. Walk circumspectly in the Spirit. And when that presence is there, you cannot be afraid, because He's there. Perfect love casts out fear. You can't be afraid. You will be a rock solid presence. Peace. Wisdom. Power. All under covering. It's available, brethren. Renew your determination. Submit. 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 Right, now let's pray. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Submission,
perfect submission,
all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting,
watching and waiting.
Perfect submission,
perfect delight,
perfect delight,
visions of rapture now burst on my side.
Angels descending,
angels descending,
bring from above,
bring from above,
echoes of mercy. Raise up your hand in faith and put your left hand on your heart. Yes, a foretaste of glory divine. angels descending and bringing from above echoes of mercy. Mercy to be faithful, mercy to triumph, mercy to preserve you. He is here with you, manifest. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess my sins, and so I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word you've sent to us today, showing us that you want us habitually to keep your word in our heart and in our mouth, and to keep it by the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues as we meditate upon the word. So we'll be doers of instruction, and we'll be blessed, waiting daily at the gates and at the post of your doors. So our lives will be a life of obedience by the life of God. So we will love you and we will cleave to you, because you are our life and you are the length of our days. Help me, Father, so that I will daily live in obedience by your Spirit, by your blood, and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Rade kakobana, safre ke kobanka kakasa, jekanombe, reneneve pake, rabakato vele, rinaba pekariyama, reneneve sato, roneneba babai, reneneve saro, reneneba kanka, reneneve swapa, ke kobai, renenemaya, randobole, renobato, tai, tongadi, kanat, toto, ronebato, to, vekeko, rekeko, rakeko, Manika, Medica, 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 Renelebe Toto, Bikelebe Belele, Renelebeke, Renelebeca, Renelebe Satoba, Renelebe Bianamale, Renelebe Sakariela, Renelebe Bea, Beranand, Renele, Barunan, Renelebe, Zafre Belio, Renelena, Renelebe Duatata, Renelebea, Renelebe Anama, Renelebe Belicanamana. And it will be well with you, and you will live long to fulfill your destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray for our healing and health. Put your hand on your body in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, resurrection, life, and power, I am healed. And your desire and your will for me to live in divine healing and divine health. I stand upon your word. I stand in communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit himself, that the Holy Spirit inside of me that raised up Jesus from the dead gives life to every part of my mortal body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So life flushes out sickness, disease, and infirmity throughout my body, in my DNA, in every cell, so that my DNA functions error-free. My immune system functions optimally. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of rest, and of exercise. So I live in divine healing. I fulfill the number of my days in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in spirit. Rabba kale, jekala masope de 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 botopa, reka baka sako chaka, reba ba 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 toba, beka da ba 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 kala ba da, ba kala ba da ba da ba, ba ba ka toba sa, ba le le be ba ba ya, ba ka ko pe le le, re le le bo, re le le be, ba 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 kale, ba rudo, ba ria, be re le, rabba le, jekale be, re ba 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 be, be ria, re le lo, re le lo, re le Hello, Safredie, Berenade, Baro, Bata, Sauce, Baka, Kokakaya, Jewo Seneya, Relelet, 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 Berenabeta, Jelalevesa, Solebosa, Ronde Bebedika Kalima. In Jesus' name, amen.